Morning to turn to the book of John, chapter 2, to read the first 11 verses, very familiar passage of Scripture. Only taking our thought from one phrase, but we need to read the whole text here. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called, or invited, and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted, or lacked, wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, that is Jesus, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, and were told the reason they were there, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, that is the servants, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, what we read here, of course, took place at a wedding. The wedding was in Cana of Galilee. This, of course, is the account of Jesus turning water into wine. It is recorded only by John. And it is the first recorded miracle of Christ. We see that from verse 11. The actual miracle is stated in verse 9. The water was made wine. It is not that the water was made to look like wine. It's not that the water was made to taste like wine. But the water was made wine. It's not merely that Jesus made more wine or Jesus made better wine. It is the water was made wine. That's the miracle. He changed one element into another as only he can. It is not specified how he did this. It is simply specified that he did. In verse 11, we see that there is a twofold result of the miracle. In this miracle, Christ manifested forth his glory. That is, by doing this, he brought into view his glory. The second thing is that his disciples believed on him. That is, their faith was strengthened. Now, what we have here, this wedding at Cana, it's history. But it's more than history, because it speaks to us in a living manner. The intent of the message today is not to look at this miracle per se, but we want to take our main thought from the words of Mary to the servants, there in verse 5, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That is always wise. That is always appropriate. I want to speak this morning on whatsoever, do it. Whatsoever, do it. First thing we want to do is just learn some things from Mary. In verse 3, we see that a need arises. May I say it's not an urgent need. It's not a great need. But a need does arise. And when they wanted or lacked wine. So we have a need. Needs arise all the time in our lives. All the time. Sometimes they're not urgent. Sometimes we think they are, but they're not. Other times our needs are very urgent and we don't realize the urgency of the need. But the truth is, needs arise all the time. They're always there. Mary reacted to the need. Verse 3, it says, the mother of Jesus said unto him, unto Christ. This is her reaction to the need. They have no wine. The reason that she spoke to Jesus on this occasion was because she had knowledge of His power. She had a knowledge of His power. She had experienced His power. The reason she reacted this way, she said unto Him, is because she knows what He can do. And this is why she would eventually tell the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. The reason she reacted this way, the reason she went to Jesus is she's sure and confident of His power and ability. And all of this is foundational to whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. So we must make some personal examination at this point. Do we have a knowledge of His power and ability? Have we experienced His power and ability? Do we remember, perhaps we should ask, our experience of His power and His ability? Are we absolutely persuaded of His power and ability? And the way to answer those questions is, what is our attitude toward whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That pretty much determines the answer to those questions. But we also see in Mary a danger. There was wisdom that she went unto Jesus as a reaction to the need. But there's also a danger. A danger that God's people, every one of us, are prone to. Her statement to Christ, as recorded, is quite simple. There's more to it, though. Her statement was, they have no wine. They have no wine. What did she mean by that statement? Well, someone might say, well, she meant what she said. Well, I think she meant more than that. And I think that's evident from the answer that Christ made. What she meant by that statement is found in Christ's understanding of the statement. Verse 4. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? He's rebuking her. So, she meant more than they have no wine. Because there's a rebuke here. And then he went on to say, mine hour is not yet come. So from this here in verse 4, we see that what she meant by the statement was, the wine has run out, do something about it. That's what she meant by that statement. You can, you must. Lord, the wine has run out. Do something about it. You can, you must. She's telling him what to do and when to do it. She falls into the sin of impatience and presumption. And she begins to dictate to Jesus Christ. Again, how we know that is from Christ's response. And Christ never had an inappropriate response or an inaccurate response. Mary was assuming a position of authority. She had an opinion, and Christ was to do things her way. That's a great danger. And it is a danger that is detrimental to what the Lord requires. And again, Christ rebukes her. Again, Mary says, in effect, they have no wine, do something about it. Christ responds, what have I to do with thee? That is, what have we in common that you could make such a demand? He is basically saying, Mary, I know the need. Don't you tell me what to do. You just leave it with me. You just leave it with me. The lesson to be learned here is God is a sovereign Lord. He knows His own will. He knows what is best for us. And He decides when and how to act. And it's none of our business. And that's basically what Christ is telling Mary. In a very polite way, by the way. Mary received the rebuke. And this is evident from the advice that she gave to the servants. And this should be our attitude. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That is, servants, it's completely in His hands. And whatever He says, you do. So let's look at Mary's advice. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That is absolutely right. It's always right. There's never a time when it's not right. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That advice is given all through the Word of God in a variety of ways. It's a great lesson. It ought to be a life principle. It is a life principle for this day of self-confidence, personal freedom, and public opinion. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. What she is saying is, obey God. Obey God. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Without leaving any room for our own opinion. Without leaving any room for our own thoughts. Obey God. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Without leaving any room for our own plans. Obey God. That's good advice. Don't let your plans get in the way. Don't make any room for our own plans. Simply obey God. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Without leaving any room for our own ways. Obey God. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Without any delay. Obey God. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it without any consideration of circumstances. Obey God. Our circumstances have nothing to do with this statement. Without any consideration of circumstances, obey God. whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, without any consideration of cost, without any consideration of possible outcome. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it costs, and it doesn't matter what the outcome will be. Obey God. Obey God. That is Mary's advice to you and I. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That is the voice of experience. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Notice the scope of those words. Whatsoever. That's the scope. That covers everything. Whatsoever. Notice the authority of the words. Whatsoever he saith. There's the authority. Public opinion does not override. Thus saith the Lord. My feelings and your feelings does not override. Thus saith the Lord. He is the authority. Also notice the individuality of this statement. Unto you. Don't worry about everyone else. Don't worry about what God is telling everyone else. Whatsoever he saith unto you. There's an individuality. There's also a responsibility. Do it. God says something. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is only one thing. Do it. Do it. Do we understand that? Do it. That is our responsibility. Well, what about such and such? That has nothing to do with anything. Well, what if such and such happens? Has nothing to do with anything. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. She is simply saying, obey God. Now this statement in verse 5, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, declares some things about God. First of all, it declares that God does speak. Whatsoever he saith. So God speaks. We read in Isaiah 43 and verse 1, but now, thus saith the Lord. Now, thus saith the Lord. In other words, right now, the Lord has something to say. Now he has something to say. He's already said it. He's already said it in his word. God has something to say. God cannot lie. God cannot be wrong. God cannot be inaccurate. God cannot be misguided. And he has something to say. So good advice is, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. God is all-knowing. God is all everywhere present. God loves me. God cares for me. God nurtures me. God is good. God is faithful. And he speaks. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So God speaks. What do? When we speak, we express ourselves. To some extent, we reveal ourselves. God speaks. He expresses himself. He reveals himself. He makes known his will. The will of God is not a big mystery. People make it a mystery, but it's not a mystery. Whatsoever you say unto you, do it. He expresses what pleases him. He expresses what is right. He expresses what is best and most advantageous to us. He expresses and reveals to us what will work. What will work, by the way, whatsoever He saith. He expresses what will work. He expresses what will bring Him glory. So God does have something to say. There are no new revelations. There's nothing contrary to His person. Whatever He says is never, ever, ever going to be contrary to His person or contrary to this book. Never. So whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. All through the Word of God, we have the law of God. His rule of conduct, if you will. His appointments. His determinations, His sanctions, His orders, His boundaries. His law declares what He wants. And whatever it is that God wants, we ought to do. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. It declares also that this phrase declares that He speaks instructively. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. God speaks instructively. And what He says, He declares. What He says declares His absolute authority. His absolute jurisdiction. By the way, what is the jurisdiction of God? It's every... There's no place that isn't. His jurisdiction. It declares His dominance. It declares His rule. It declares His life. Throughout the Word of God, every law that God gave, every command that He issued, every prohibition that He gave, all proclaim the government of God. God speaks instructively through His Word, and such is a proclamation that God has standards. God has standards. God speaks instructively. And He does so in a very precise manner. He does so in a very definite manner. And every time God speaks, it is a declaration that it matters to God how things are done. It matters to God. It declares, this phrase also declares the wide-ranging scope of what He says. Again, that's revealed in the word whatsoever. Whatsoever. It covers every aspect of our life. Reading through God's Word, we see that God speaks with regards to family, marriage, divorce, parenting, children, relationships between husbands and wife. God has something to say about all of it. And it doesn't much matter what public opinion says. It does not alter what God says. God has plenty to say with regard to money, with regard to property. He even speaks about with regard to building houses and with regard to gardening and farming, with regard to clothing. Yes, it does matter to God what you wear. With regard to animals and all of this, it tells us that His government, His authority, His claims, His boundaries, His standards, His rights, His jurisdiction covers everything. God has something to say about everything. And in everything it matters what God says. So therefore, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That phrase also declares the importance of what God says. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. It's important. There's the implication that whatever God says here is sufficient. It's consequential. It's momentous. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. There's the implication that whatever God says is paramount. Whatever God says overrules everything else. Overrides everything else. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. But mom says this, dad says this, public opinion says this. Whatsoever He saith, do it. That overrides everything else. There's the implication there that whatever God says is essential. Whatever God says is relevant. Therefore, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. The statement also declares our responsibility. It declares that we have a responsibility, first of all, to hear what God says. Whatsoever He saith, God speaks. And we read in James 1:19, let every man be swift or quick to hear. God does speak. And you and I ought to be very, very concerned about hearing what God says. The Lord has something to say to us. He's already said it. And this makes us responsible and accountable. It is our responsibility to pay attention to what God says. Our hearing is not to be selective. We are to listen to what God says. We are to take notice of what God says. We are to bear in mind what God says. We are to always consider and remember what God says. Whatever our condition or the circumstance or the season of our life, God speaks. And whatever it is He says, we need to listen. Also, this phrase declares our responsibility to obey what God says. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Again, in every condition. A lot of folks wouldn't remain in the condition they're in if they would follow this advice. It concerns every circumstance and every season of our life. And in every condition, every circumstance, and every season of our life, we ought to concern ourselves with what does God want? What does God want? Really, that's the only thing that matters. What does God want? In all things, we are to acknowledge God, acknowledge His authority, acknowledge His government, acknowledge His claims, acknowledge His standards, acknowledge our responsibility and accountability to Him. In Jude verse 8, we read of those who despise dominion. The word dominion there has to do with authority. They despise, they think lightly of authority. And we live in the day of such. Our society and culture has progressively denied the God of this book, have progressively denied the law of this book. The Supreme Court, in its rulings and in all of its overturning of laws, cannot overturn God's law. They can't do it because God's law stands. God's law is always true. It's always right. You say, well, I don't understand it. Just understand this. It's right. It's true. It's unwavering. It's unfailing. Therefore, whether you understand it or not, just do it. Just obey God. Our society and culture is being sold the philosophy that there is no absolute truth. But the law of God says different. Our society and culture is engulfed in moral relativism, which says basically that there is not only no absolute truth, there is no authority. You're your own authority. There is no standard of right and wrong. The result is that every individual is his or her own personal authority. But the law of God says different. Our society and culture is caught and ensnared with the idea of personal freedom. That there are no guidelines. except those which you create yourself and choose to adopt for your own life. But the law of God says different. Our society and culture has been bombarded relentlessly by the pervasive lies, the control and the manipulation of humanism and atheism, which carry the idea that there is no judge. But guess what? The law of God says different. Our society and culture is bought into anti-God philosophies, bought into the anti-God philosophies of militant secularism, which says no absolute truth, no absolute authority, no rules, and no judge. Bottom line is, you do whatever you want. You are in charge. If you want to throw a brick through a window, throw a brick through the window. That's your right. Law of God says different. Public opinion does not change the laws and rules of God. The entire system of God's law speaks loud and clear. There is truth. There is authority. There are rules. There is a judge. And there is accountability. Therefore, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So here we are, living in a careless generation, careless about living, careless about rules. But be sure of this. There are rules. And the Christian life is according to rules. And here we are living in a society and culture that is offended by and very hostile toward the laws and rules of a holy and righteous God. So I've got to ask, what do you think of the law of God? What do you think of the rules of God? With that in mind, let's go to Psalm 104, verses 5 through 9, and I want to remind you that God created the universe with rules and laws. Verse 5, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coveredest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over. Talking about the waters, that they turn not again to cover the earth. God has rules. You say, well, I don't like the rules. God has rules, and may I let you know tonight, today, that that is why you're standing on dry ground right now. Because God has rules. If it weren't for the rules of God, you'd be treading water right now. So you better thank God for His rules. It's God's rules. It's because God has rules that it rains and that it stops raining. If it wasn't for the rules of God, it wouldn't stop. The reason that you're able to sit here today, this is God's rule of gravity. You better thank God for His rules. In every aspect and realm of our lives, and in every circumstance, we are to believe that it is God's absolute right to command me what to do. He holds your breath in His hand. He gave you life. Who are we to question the rule of God? Who are we to shake our fist at God? He has the right to command us We must believe in the justness of God's commands. Believe it or not, we do not know better than God. We do not know better what's better for our life than God. Believe that God has absolute right to command you. Believe that God's rules, God's laws, God's commands are just. And believe that it is our personal obligation to obey. Well, so-and-so doesn't. What does that have to do with you and I? Nothing. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. No matter who you are, no matter what position you have in this world, God has the right to rule over you. And God does rule over you. And God's rule is just. And we're obligated to obey it. Our obedience to God should in every aspect, in every realm of our lives, and in every circumstance, be immediate. Psalm 119 and verse 60 says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. God says such and such, and someone says, well, I'll think about it. What is there to think about? What is there to think about? Nothing. God said, do it. God said, obey it. It's simple. Very simple. That is to be the principle of our life. And any time we say, well, so-and-so, they're not. What about them? You're not obeying. You're disobedient. Our obedience to God is to be exact. It is to be unquestioning. It doesn't matter what God tells us to do. We're to obey without asking why. Simply to obey. Well, I've got to know why. No, you don't. No, you don't. No matter what the circumstance or situation, obey God. When faced with great needs, obey God. When life is filled with cares and burdens, obey God. When faced with difficulties and problems and obstacles, obey God. When in the midst of an intense battle and struggle, obey God. When it seems to be, when everything seems to be in a state of upheaval, obey God. When all is joy, everything is going well, everything appears to be well, your cup is running over, obey God. When everything seems to be falling apart, obey God. When you understand, obey God. When you don't understand, obey God. When you're not afraid, obey God. When you are afraid, obey God. It's very simple. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And may I say, there will be times when God's commands appear to contradict common sense. They will never contradict this book, but they will contradict common sense. When that happens, obey God. There will be times when God's commands go against our thinking, goes against the thinking of others. When that is the case, obey God. There will be times when God's commands do not appear pertinent to our case. May I say they are always pertinent. But when they do not appear to be pertinent to your case, obey God. There will be times when God's commands may seem trivial. They are never such, but they may seem trivial. Obey God. There will be times, whether you want to admit it or not, when God's commands may not be what you want to do. Obey God. Don't try to manage God. Don't try to shape God to get your way. you obey God. There will be times when God's commands are going to interrupt your plans. Obey God. Obey God. There will be times when you may lose much in obeying. It is a downright lie to say things will always turn out good, humanly speaking, if you obey God. That's not always so. Sometimes you'll lose much in obeying God. It may cost you your family. Obey God. Obey God. It may cost you your job. Obey God. It may cost you dearly. Obey God. God's laws and rules concern our everyday behavior. Obey God in our behavior. They concern our interpersonal relationships and life. Obey God in your relationships. Relationships would be much better if folks would just obey God. Obey God. God's laws and rules concern business life. Obey God in your business life. Somehow, many of God's people have gotten the idea that business and God they're separate. Nothing's separate from God. God's laws concern our marriages and our homes. Obey God in your marriage. Obey God in your home. I've been told many times through the years, Lord Dan, it's none of your business what we do in our home. That's where you're wrong. It's God's business. You cannot separate the two. God's laws and rules concern raising our children. Obey God in raising our children. Well, you know, today we don't do it that way. It doesn't have anything to do with obey God. Living in a disobedient world where disobedience is on every hand, where the vast majority of people have no concept of God's law, have no concern with God's law, we are to obey God. It's just plain and simple. We are to obey God. In closing, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. First Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Speaks of preparation. Be sober. Hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children. That ought to describe us. As obedient children. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Why? Because it's contrary to being obedient children. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Obedient children. We are to plan on serving God. Too many people in their plans, what they have basically planned to do is not to serve God. Not to be obedient. We need every single day to plan to serve God. What's your plan today? To serve God. That means that I must be listening for whatever He says and do it. Plan to serve God. We don't know how much time we have left. Whatever it is, that ought to be our plan. I'm going to serve God. Nothing's going to get in the way. God, if something does get in the way, take it away. Remove it. Remove it. How many are courageous enough today and sincere enough to pray, Lord, if it's in the way, take care of it. If it's in the way, You take care of it. However You see fit. We need to be serious about serving the Lord. There aren't very many today. Very, very, very few. Who are really, truly serious about serving the Lord. God help us to obey God in all things. If your marriage is struggling, obey God. If trouble has filled your home, obey God. You don't know what to do, do this. Obey God. You're filled with fear because of all the things that looks like might happen. Just obey God. Just obey Him. Leave the results with God. It's not for you and I to create results. It's for you and I to obey God. That's our responsibility. May God help us. May God give us a desire in our heart. I just want to obey God. Just want to obey Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand.
Number 338.